Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Without the unexpected circumstance, I was still scheduled to preach here. I just wasn't scheduled to preach in the morning. So, but I'm glad that he's back, and that's a good thing for all of us here. Proverbs chapter 20. I want to share with you something a little personal here. I've told a few people. I told my wife this afternoon when we were having lunch. maybe you've heard this. Maybe you haven't. I mean, I had, for those who have been here a while, you know, the desire that I had to get married and to have my own child. But, of course, as I got into my later 20s, early 30s, I was like, it's probably not going to happen. I kind of gave up on that idea. And then, of course, I know the ladies who love to clean on Tuesday with their great service. I heard later on in life, Mrs. Shaw, Mrs. Spitzer, and others, they would pray every morning and say, Lord, bless Chris with a wife. And I had told some kids, some camp kids, they're like, when are you going to have children? I'm like, I don't know. I got to get married first before that happens. that's the way I believe you get married first and then have children. And so I told them, I was like, well, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. If I'm not married or have a child by 35, well, if I don't have a child by 35, I'm going to adopt a kid. And, of course, here I am coming to 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. 35 was last year. Actually, earlier this year, too. But 3 weeks before my 36th birthday, God blessed us with Abigail. So you can kind of say that maybe I was like foretelling my future. I don't know. But I mean, I was serious about that. If I wasn't married at that point and I hadn't had a child, I was seriously considering trying to adopt because I really felt I wanted to be a father of a child some way, shape, or form. I think this is the easier route, though, as far as being married and then having your own child and children. But I just wanted to share that little thing there. I hadn't really made that as public because it was kind of, even then there's some doubts along that line. But looking at this evening's text and looking at some of the verses we'll be looking at this evening, I wanted to speak to you about finding a faithful man in a sin-cursed world. There is a lot of things that are happening in this world today. Looking around, examining the world today, there's a trend that seems to be troubling. The rise of fatherless homes, rise in immorality, rise in divorces have caused a lot of issues in a home and in America. I think today, I read a statistic that one out of every four children do not know who their father is or their father isn't present in the home. I think that's very concerning along that line. For reasons I don't know, I'm not going to explore them or anything like that. But I feel, and I've seen this a lot, I could be wrong, but from my personal experience, I've seen when families have separated that it does affect the children quite a bit. In some ways, more than others, some more than others, some not as subtle, or some maybe very subtle. But it's sometimes hard to find someone who's willing to stand in the gap, just say, hey, I'm going to be that faithful person. I'm going to be that one who's going to stand in the midst of trouble, in the midst of adversity. This world goes through phases, and tonight's example should comfort you and encourage you, fathers especially, to be faithful and for the women to know that they too can stand strong in the midst of a sin-cursed world. We're going to look at a proverb here, and then we're going to jump into an example of a man this evening. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. Bible says these words, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Who can find a faithful man? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. I submit to you this evening just one simple statement, be strong and faithful in the Lord. No matter if you're a father, you're a man, you're a woman, you're a mother, you're a teenager, you're a child, baby, whatever it is, be strong in the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Father, help us as we look into your passage here this evening. Help me as I preach. Help it be simple and easy to be understood. Help us, Father, just to look into your word and that we can grow and understand thereby. Help, if there are any distractions, that we'd set them aside for now and be able to focus in onto your word these next few minutes. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, who is the faithful? Who is the faithful man? Who is the one who's going to stand out there? Chapter 20, verse 6, again, says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. I feel that as a man, sometimes it is good just to say, hey, here's what God's done in my life. Here's how God has blessed in my life. This morning, I had the fathers tell us how many years they've celebrated Father's Day, how many children they've had, how many grandchildren they've had, or great-grandchildren. And I feel like it's a joy to know that God's led you, God's led your home, and you've been able to be faithful for these years. But there are some people, though, who, for lack of a better term, they kind of quit. There's some men out there today who think that fatherhood is too tough, and they just stop. They don't want to be a part of their lives, the children's lives. They'll do many different things to try to find a way to separate from that. I challenge us, especially men, the end of verse 6, but a faithful man, who can find? Who's going to be that faithful man? Verse 7 is this. The just man walketh in his integrity, in his innocence here, and his children are blessed after him. As Abigail gets older, I want her to see the influence of a godly man. I want her to understand that her dad and her mom are serving the Lord faithfully. And it's both of us having to be on the same page, on the same mindset. So that way when that time comes, she gets to be older and she starts to go on these dating things, which I don't want to be prepared for yet. I always joke with my wife that once she's 13, she's going to be locked up in the room for the rest of her teen years. She's not going to school at all. I joke with that, but I mean, that time comes when people get interested, and some dads are very protective of their daughters, and rightfully so. I'll be the same way with that. How are you going to do it? I'm not telling you, not in the pulpit anyway, but there are ways that I'll want to make sure my daughter is safe and make sure that she learns who God is. First, she gets saved, and secondly, that she serves the Lord faithfully. And that's the responsibility of the role of my role as a father to do that, and to any of the other children that we have along that line. Proverb asks, who can find a faithful man? Many years ago, before this proverb was written, a man answered that call in a sin-cursed world. Let's look at his example. So I know a guy, literally. Genesis chapter 6, let's move back there. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at Noah. So literally, we know a guy. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, not being funny here. Genesis chapter 6, how was Noah faithful? How was he faithful? And I want to submit to you a few reasons on why Noah was faithful. We're going to jump around between chapter 6 and chapter 9. We're not going to read through every single verse here this evening. If we do, we'll be here until 9 o'clock. I mean, why not? We can preach all night. I'll just make sure none of you sleep so you fall out of a window. The Acts passage. Anyway, Genesis chapter 6. How was Noah faithful? How was Noah a faithful man in a sin-cursed world? Number one is that he stood out in the midst of a sin-cursed world. Verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You think to yourself, well, that sounds very familiar. Yeah, think modern day. There's a lot of things going on in modern day that make us really think that every thought of man is only evil continually. You doubt me? Just go on the news. You got people who are murdering people and doing this and doing that and expressing their sin out wide open for everybody to see. And all this stuff is going on in this world is ridden with sin, and it's trying to override the foundations that we have had in this country. And Many years ago, well, this would be probably maybe 4 or 5,000 years ago, about 4 or 5,000 years ago, Noah had a situation. Now, did they have the internet back then? Probably not. Did they have TV? Probably not. But sin was rampant. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says it. Says, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It was great. And then because of that, verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I'm sure God is grieved with how this world is acting today. I mean, think about it. We're in June. June is now associated with pride, being expressive, showing out your sin, essentially. And now people will call that hate speech. No, this is a sin. It's not. It's my lifestyle. Yeah, you chose to live that lifestyle, okay? You weren't born that way. You didn't feel that way. It's a lifestyle choice. Why? Romans 1, we're not going to get into that tonight. But people choose to live in this lifestyle. And think about it, pride. What does the Bible say about pride? Pride comes before a fall, and haughty spirit before destruction. Anti-God as you can get. And God, I'm sure, is grieved at that and other things in this world. Grieved at the fact that people are murdering people just because they want to do it. People thieving and stealing and looting and being discriminate and all this stuff. I'm sure God's grieved at this point and in how the things in this world are going. God doesn't show favoritism. God isn't prejudiced. And a lot of people tend to do that today, unfortunately. I thought it was over in the 60s. Still rearing its ugly head in some circles today. It's wrong. No one needs to act that way. So verse 7. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God felt sorry for this. He had pity. He was like, hey, it's time for me to get rid of this. So number two, why was Noah faithful? Number one, he stood out in the midst of a sin-cursed world. Number two, verse 8, he found grace. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found God's unmerited favor. God's loving kindness toward him, Noah found that. He knew who God was, and he served God. How do you know that? Well, number three, he was a just man. Why? How was Noah faithful? He stood out in the midst of a sin-cursed world. He found grace. And number three, he was a just man. Verses 9 to 13. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. He had integrity. He had truth. He had sincerity. A lot of people today don't have any of those traits today. He was just. And notice at the end of verse 9, and Noah walked with God. Noah had a relationship with the Lord. A lot of people don't have that today. Especially fathers. A lot of men don't think that they think, oh, I don't need that. It's like a crutch. No, I think we need God more than ever. Verse 10. Noah begat three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Verse 11. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So how was God going to do that? You know the story. He builds a boat. He builds an ark. Let's skip down. Number four, how was Noah faithful? He obeyed God. God gave him the instructions to build the ark. Verse 18. Genesis 6:18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Skip down now to verse number 22. He explains how, and everybody that's going in, the two by twos and male and female and all that. And what does he do? Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that that God commanded him, so did he. Noah obeyed God. Sometimes it can be hard to obey God. Noah did. And his family, notice how his leadership permeated throughout his family. His wife was there. His sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, they all obeyed what God wanted. Why? Because of the example of faithful Noah. Because he stood out in the midst of this world. He found grace. He was a just man. He obeyed God. Come into chapter 7 here, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come now, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. So verses 2 and 3 explains who's going to come in there. Verse number 4, come down to verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now notice verse 5. Very similar to chapter 6, verse 22. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah listened. Noah obeyed. And it says that about him twice at least. He found favor. He found grace. God gave him instructions. He did it. He was told this is what's going to happen. Flood's going to come. You're going to be in there at least 40 days and 40 nights. It was a lot longer than that because the waters had to come down because it flooded the entire earth. So then we see in verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Let's skip down a little bit here, now into verse 13. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. So his family enters into the ark. They listen, they obey. Number 5. How was Noah faithful? He stood out in the midst of a sin-cursed world. He wasn't like everybody else. He found grace. Number 3, he was a just and perfect man, man of integrity. Number 4, he obeyed God. And then number 5, after the flood comes, about 370 days or 378 days later, he gives praise to the Lord. Genesis chapter 8 now. Skip ahead to the end of Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. So after they come out of the boat, after he sent the raven, he sent the dove the first time, sent the dove again, and then the dove doesn't come back. After they bring back the branch and then finds a place, the dove goes out 3 times. And first time finds nothing, 7th time finds a branch, 3rd time doesn't come back at all. Finally gets out of the boat, verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He comes and he worships. 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So basically God's saying, I'm not going to do this ever again. Doesn't matter what the time is, what the season is, I'm not going to do what I have just done. Chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So he gives a command to multiply. Also, some other things that he commands there about having the fear and eating certain animals. You can eat now, some you shouldn't. talks about capital punishment in verse 6. I want you to skip down to verse number 8. God gives a promise to Noah because of his obedience. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. This is what we would term or call the Noahic covenant. What is that? God would never destroy the earth again the way he did it. By the waters of the flood, verse 11 continues, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. The true meaning of the rainbow comes here in verse 13. And I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So when you see that rainbow pop up after these rainy days we've had, that's God's promise. That's not to advocate sin, which is what it's being used for today in some circles. That rainbow is there to show the promise that he would never flood the earth again by water. Verse 14, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of my covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh as upon the earth. So God worships, God is worshiped, God is given the praise for making it through that time. Imagine being in that boat for a year plus with all those animals. I mean, especially if you don't like spiders, you don't like frogs, you don't like snakes. Some of you probably wish, God, I wish we would have not put those on the boat. But he did. Two of every living creature. But he was there for a whole year. He faithfully listened to what God told him to do. Because if he wasn't, he would not be here. And we wouldn't have this story to learn from this evening. So Noah was faithful. How can we be faithful in this world? Let me give you five ways that we can be faithful, and then we're going to close. These, I believe, are on the screen behind me. If not, I'll just read you these verses. How can we be faithful? Number one, be faithful in all things. Matthew 25:21 says this, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This is that parable talking about the talents and all that. And this guy was faithful in keeping that. So be faithful in all things is one way we can be faithful. Number two, be faithful in the little things. Luke 16:11. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Be faithful in the big things, be faithful in the little things. Number three, be a faithful steward. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be a faithful steward. Do what God would want you to do and do it faithfully. Number four, minister faithfully. Ephesians 6:21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Paul's writing a conclusion here to Ephesians, and he's referring to Tychicus as this man who's a faithful minister, a faithful servant. God wants us to serve faithfully, to minister and help others out. And number five, how can we be faithful? We can be faithful in soul winning. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul writes that to Timothy, telling him, hey, Jesus Christ came, obeyed that promise, and I'm the chief of sinners. If you knew Paul's life before he was saved, he did not do the things that he should have done. He was against God, but then God saved him and changed his life completely. And God can do that to anybody. In conclusion, we need faithful men and women in this sin-cursed world. This world has enough wickedness anyway. We should commit to being faithful in all things, whether it be big or whether it be small. Father, we pray as we get ready to conclude this service in here, and as we go to the invitation time, I pray that you would just help us, that we can just look at ourselves and see where we're at in our relationship and walk with you. That you'd help us to be faithful men. Help us to be faithful women, faithful children, that we can serve you and we can honor you. I pray that you would just bless and move in this invitation time. May we just be able to be sensitive to what you're speaking to our hearts this evening. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen.